While I was away last week in gospel meeting, I prepared the lesson for this morning. When I returned home and read the bulletin for this week, I noted that Brother Hires had used the same subject for his article in the bulletin that I'm using for the lesson this morning, the subject of opportunities. And I think the basic reason for that is that we both realize that we are at a time when we have a tremendous number of opportunities available. The camp is going on at Mid-South Camp, giving opportunities to our young people to be involved in that. Horizons will begin two-week session, one for senior high and one for junior high, will begin next Sunday. The Christian Training Series, which provides opportunity for adults and a special opportunity for us here at Henderson because the congregation here pays the congregational fee so that any of us can go to any of those sessions. We'll have Brother Tom Holland speaking three nights in this auditorium in connection with that, in the evening services, Monday through Wednesday, and that will begin on the 11th, 2 weeks from today. And of course, tonight, our Vacation Bible School begins here with an opportunity to be in a class to study the Word of God tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I've noted that in the past years, Sunday night and Wednesday night will be about three times as large in the adult classes as Monday and Tuesday night. Yet we have an opportunity each of those nights, tonight through Wednesday night, to be involved in our Vacation Bible School. I'm of the opinion that we here in Henderson probably have more opportunities than people almost anywhere. There is something going on, something available at the church or at the school across the street, and even of other type activities in the community on a fairly regular basis. Perhaps we take many of these opportunities for granted. And so this morning, I want us to think about the subject of opportunities for a few minutes. Concentrate on two passages of Scripture. One, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In Galatians 6, verse 10, read in our text earlier by Brother Holland, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are them or the household of faith. I want to pull some words out of those two verses, and we're not pulling them out of context. I want you to think from the first verse of the words that God will provide a way. God will provide a way. And out of the second verse, I want you to think about the words, as we have therefore opportunity, let us. Or let us do. In that particular passage, let us do good. God will provide a way, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do. And what we're saying as we pull those words out of those verses is that God is going to give us opportunities. And as we have those opportunities, you and I will react to them, and we will do something about them. Even if we do nothing, that is a reaction to the opportunity that is there. For example, if this earth continues, we believe that God will give us the opportunity tonight at 5 o'clock to be involved in our vacation Bible school. Each one of us will react to that opportunity. There are some, I'm sure, who will have to react by not being here because of a commitment somewhere else, a commitment that has to be met. But that will be a reaction to the opportunity. There will be those who are aware that it's taking place who will decide not to come, and there will be those who are aware that it's taking place who will decide to come. As we have opportunity, let us do. We will react in one way or another. Let's think for just a few minutes this morning about some of the great opportunities given to us by our Heavenly Father. Remember, God will provide a way. One of the greatest opportunities that He gives us is the opportunity to repent. Peter, in referring to what had happened at the household of Cornelius, recorded in Acts 11:18, makes the statement that God had also granted repentance to the Gentiles. Now, that word also points out that he had given repentance or the opportunity of repentance to the Jews and now also to the Gentiles, which, when analyzed, says that God has granted repentance to all kinds of people, all types of people, all people. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2, verse 11. God has granted to all people the opportunity to repent. And perhaps we do not stop and think about what a great opportunity that is. When you think about point number one, that all sin, Romans 3:23, point number two, that sin cannot go through the pearly gates into heaven, Revelation 21:27, then it necessarily follows that we are in need of an opportunity to do something about our sin. God did not owe us that opportunity. That's why the availability of salvation is by the grace of God. But God wanted to give us that opportunity. You see, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 tells us. And even in talking about one of the most wicked people who ever lived, a woman by the name of Jezebel, in Revelation 2, verse 21 says, He gave her space to repent. And she repented not. He gave her opportunity to repent. Now, I am not suggesting that repentance alone is all that's involved in being saved. Certainly, faith is involved, confession, being baptized for the remission of sins. But repentance is that attitude that develops in the mind of man that sort of brings about these other things that follow and is produced by the faith that in part at least must come before. What an opportunity God has given us to repent. There is no need, there is no reason for any of us to leave this service today with the burden of sin that's not been cared for by the power that's in the blood of Christ. And you see how this fits the little outline that we have that God provides, and as we have opportunity, we react. God provides a way of repentance. He provides an opportunity for us to be with Christ. In our case, to be Christians. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem in Matthew 23:37. And said, I'd like for you to come and be with me. I would take you as a mother hen takes her chickens, but you would not. He said, I'm giving you the opportunity. I want you to have the opportunity, but you won't take it. The opportunity is there, but you will not. Again and again, there is the opportunity given for us to be with Jesus, for us to be His disciples, for us to be His followers. And yet sometimes people will not. You remember Felix in Acts 24, 24 and 25? touched so much by the power of Paul's sermon that he trembled. And yet he said, go thy way, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I'm not going to take advantage of the opportunity today. When I have a convenient season, I will take advantage. Whether or not he ever did, we don't know. God gives us an opportunity to overcome problems. Some of the suffering that we encounter is because we can't control it. But much of the suffering that we have in life is because we do not turn to God and accept forgiveness and accept his help. Back again to 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And yet sometimes people will not turn to God and accept his help, accept the promise that I will never leave you, that Jesus gives in Hebrews 13, verse 5. God gives us that opportunity to let him be our God, to let Christ be our Savior, to know that we have a Savior that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as the Hebrew writer says, and who knows our feelings because he was here and he was tempted like as we are. God gives us that opportunity to have Jesus as our Savior and to have Jesus as our help. And yet so many times we do not take advantage of it. We have the opportunity to win souls. Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew 9, 37 and 38 that the harvest is there, the field is out there, and yet we need laborers to go into the harvest. He said on another occasion that it's white unto harvest. You and I have the opportunity to win souls on a regular basis. We meet people perhaps every day, people who are not Christians. People to whom we can at least give an invitation to come to the services or talk to them about Christ or give them something to read and encourage them to read the Bible. How many times do we take advantage of opportunities like that? God gives us opportunities to help those who are hurting. Sometimes in benevolent work, like Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good. There may be somebody that you will meet this week who's hungry. It may be somebody who just needs a pat on the back or a word of encouragement, who's hurting and needs help in that sense. I doubt that there's any one of us who really realizes how many opportunities we have on a daily basis to say a good word, to do a small deed that will help someone feel better or be better. God gives us many, many opportunities. He gave the priest and the Levite an opportunity to help the man who had fallen among thieves, and they did not take advantage. He gave the Samaritan the opportunity, and he took advantage and did something about it. Folks, we need to realize that God gives us so many opportunities. And those of us that live in America, and those of us especially that live in Henderson, Tennessee, are blessed perhaps a bit more than the average person with opportunities that are there before us every day. God provides a way. Now, as we have opportunity, let us do something about it. How do we react toward these opportunities that are there? I think in some instances we tend to take them for granted and maybe not even think about them like we should. And associated with that may be the idea that we've developed, though we probably would not want to admit it, that the world owes us a living, or God owes us all of these opportunities. That may have been a contributing factor to the problem of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, who had all of the crops come in, and maybe just, well, this is mine, it all belongs to me, I'll do this, and did not think about the opportunities that he would have had to have helped other people. In James, the fourth chapter, we're told, as we plan to go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, that we ought to back up and say, if the Lord will, we shall do this. We take our opportunities for granted. I think most of us, without really thinking about it, just assume that we'll live tomorrow. And that we'll have all these opportunities that we've always had tomorrow. We take opportunities for granted. And in another approach and another idea, we may overlook our opportunities. Sometimes the opportunities are right there beside us and we don't see them. I'm of the opinion that many of our opportunities are within the walls of our own houses with our own families. Sometimes we don't see them until it's too late. And many times the opportunities are right with us in the church, right next to us, maybe on the seat with us, next seat. And we just overlook them. We don't see. We don't see the need. We don't see the opportunity that is there. How sad that is for all of us. But the other reaction that is needed is to take advantage of every opportunity. Those on Pentecost had the opportunity to become Christians, and they did. The Philippian jailer had the opportunity to become a Christian, something he didn't even know about a few hours earlier. And he didn't wait till the next morning. He took advantage of that opportunity that night. The Ethiopian nobleman took advantage of the opportunity while they were out away from other people. He didn't wait till he got back home. He took advantage as soon as he knew. And you've heard it stated that all of the cases that we have of conversion in the book of Acts are cases where people took advantage of the opportunity as soon as they realized what that opportunity was. And even a Christian who had sinned, Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, when told to repent and pray, immediately asked that Peter would pray for him and with him. He took advantage of the opportunity immediately when he realized that he needed to do something and the opportunity was there. How different that is from what happens many times in services like this, in services that we have in gospel meetings. The invitation of the Lord is extended in the same way that it was to those on Pentecost, as far as the content of it is concerned, and to those that are in the same condition as Simon the sorcerer. And many times people sit night after night and day after day and do not take advantage of the opportunity that is there. I'm persuaded that even in our own services here, there are those who need to become Christians now, who need to be restored now, and who have the opportunity and everything available, who do not take advantage of that opportunity. Noah had an opportunity to build an ark to the saving of his household. He took advantage of it. Jonah was given a second opportunity to go and preach to Nineveh. He did not take advantage of the first opportunity, but he did the second one. And the people of Nineveh, although very evil, when they heard the sermon that Jonah preached, the record of it, by the way, is only 8 words. May have been longer than that in reality, but when they heard it, they repented in sackcloth and ashes, even to the rulers. They took advantage of the opportunity that was there. God will provide the opportunities. You can count on that. We will either take them for granted, overlook them, or take advantage of them. At this very moment, God provides the opportunity for us to be faithful Christians. What reaction will we have to that? The opportunity is yours to become a Christian or to come back to Christ. If that's your need, what is your reaction as together we stand and sing?
Victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.